Welcome to the Great Lakes Golf Podcast. This is Hunter Pulaski alongside Brad Burkaw. We are brought to you by Reed Furniture. Whatever your furniture need, it is Reed indeed. In this week's episode, we have the BMW Championship in Colorado in the books. We have the AIG Women's Open at the Old Course, St. Andrews. We will break that down. We have the President's Cup automatic qualifiers for both the U.S. team and the international team, as well as the auto qualifiers for the Solheim Cup, which is coming up here in less than 3 weeks in Virginia. So we will break down that. And finally, we have the final event of the 2024 PGA Tour season, the Tour Championship at a newly restored Eastlake by the great Andrew Green. So very, very excited to see what he's done to bring that back to what it once was when Donald Ross originally designed it. So we will get into that. But first, we do not have Brad today, so I will be doing a solo episode. So please bear with me if I start talking too fast and just rambling about random stuff. But first, let's talk about the BMW Championship. Keegan Bradley gets his first win of the season, his third win in the last 44 starts. Remember last year, he was vying for a spot on the Ryder Cup team, became a very, very big part of Full Swing, was him not making it on the Ryder Cup team, Zach Johnson calling him and leaving him in the dust. So to bounce back now, he was winless there for four straight years, now to have three trophies in the last 44 starts. That's his seventh victory on the PGA Tour, and really he didn't have a single top 20 since May of this year, so I don't think anybody really expected this. He was the last man in the field. He was number 50, obviously took very, very full advantage of it. I think we should take a moment to, if you looked at that leaderboard this weekend, he was by far the oldest guy in the field, Adam Scott. But outside of Adam Scott and him, and maybe it's really Adam Scott should be part of this conversation too, the longevity it takes in this day and age out of these guys is extremely impressive. I mean, there are so many young guys that are coming on the scene right away that we've talked about week in, week out, whether that be Ludwig or Luke Clanton. I mean, the list really goes on and on about these younger guys coming out, but we can't forget about the guys like Keegan Bradley and like Adam Scott that have been doing it now for such a long time and staying at that top form that it takes to make it to the Tour Championship. So going at the leaderboard, Keegan Bradley, 12 under par, started off really strong, 66 on Thursday, followed up with a 68, 70, and then a 72, and kind of just hung on there for the win, finished at 12 under par. Sam Burns played awesome on Sunday, shot 65 to finish T2nd alongside Ludwig Aubert and Adam Scott, who I previously mentioned. Adam Scott struggled on Saturday after a sizzling 63 on Friday to finish, as mentioned, tied 2nd. Followed by Cam Davis at T5, Tommy Fleetwood also at T5 alongside Siwoo Kim and Xander Schauffele. They all finished at 8 under par. We had two guys tied for 9th, that is Chris Kirk and Alex Noren, followed by two guys at T11th, Sungjae Im and Roy McIlroy. Tony Finau finished at T13th alongside a bunch of other guys who included Will Zalatoris, Ben Ahn, Shane Lowry, Patrick Cantlay, Tom Hoagie, Sepp Straka, Taylor Pendrith, and Wyndham Clark. Real quick, just back to Ludwig Aubert. I'm struggling with him. He made three doubles this week, but I think he also had three eagles to match those three doubles. Shot 72 in the first round, followed it up with a 63 on Friday, and then went 71-71. I don't think we're quite to that point yet, but I'd love to see him really just put his foot on the gas on Sunday and close one of these things out in style. And I think the golf course was really firming up. They got a little bit of rain on Thursday night, which allowed for these, as mentioned, Ludwig shot 63 on Friday, Adam Scott shot a 63 on Friday. A couple 68s by Keegan Bradley, Sam Burns. Really, that was kind of the day that everyone got after it. I only see one score over par inside the top 13, and that was by Sung J.M. on Friday. But I see a 65, 67. So I think if it wouldn't have rained on Thursday night, it really could have gotten crispy and made it even harder. That you saw balls that were bounding into the rough that looked like they were pretty much right down the middle, just because of how firm it was getting. No surprise, ball strikers rose to the top, given the lack of course knowledge. Just not a ton of people played it in the past. So Keegan Bradley, given how well he hits it, not a huge surprise there. I do want to point out his approach shot on 17, par 5. He hit a 5-iron from 235 that just looked so pretty. I mean, that's obviously what you have to do in those moments, and he absolutely did it. I was blown away. I mean, that was just a nice high draw from that far, kind of off like a weird downhill, side hill lie. All in all, very, very happy for Keegan Bradley. This, we'll get into it. President's Cup auto qualifiers just came out. I don't know what Jim Furyk is going to do. This is kind of getting interested in where you have some of the guys that were on the Ryder Cup team in a couple years ago or last year. The difference in how those guys are playing compared to Keegan Bradley. Obviously, Keegan Bradley has not had a great season up until this point. So it's kind of hard. It's very much like a Lucas Glover situation again. But you look at like a Max Homa, you look at a Justin Thomas, you look at a Jordan Spieth. There's a lot of guys that Keegan Bradley is playing playing better than currently that were on the team in when it was in Italy in 2023. So just looking at that roster very quickly. Yeah, so Jordan Spieth was on that team. I have to imagine he probably is with the injury. So I see Jordan Spieth is one that I think he's probably playing better than Ricky Fowler, another one, and then Justin Thomas. So Jim Furyk's gonna have a tricky decision because Keegan Bradley has been selected as a co-captain, vice captain. So a potential playing captain. He has not played in a Ryder Cup since 2014. So it'd be nice to see him back in the mix again. A couple guys just to keep in mind that were on the outside looking in. So Keegan Bradley, great example. He was at number 50 going into the week, got all the way down to number 4. Adam Scott, same thing. He was at 41 and with his T2nd got down to 14. He played some really good golf. He's been playing some inspiring golf now for the last few weeks. He had a runner-up at the Genesis Open, followed by a T10 at the Open, or rather a runner-up at the Genesis Scottish Open, a T10 at the Open, T18th at the FedEx St. Jude Championship. So really playing some good golf. Tommy Fleetwood, same thing. He went from number 31 down to number 22. And Chris Kirk went from number 32 down to number 26. We had four guys that unfortunately went the opposite way, going from being in the Tour Championship field to being out of it. We'll start with Brian Harman, which is probably the biggest dagger of the bunch as far as disappointment. He ended up making a double bogey on the 72nd hole to finish in number 31, which is obviously the last man out looking in, which allowed Justin Thomas to get in. Jason Day, same thing. He made a triple bogey, double bogey on 14 and 15. He did birdie 17 and 18 to give himself a slim chance, but still ended up in number 33 after being at number 25 going into the week. Davis Thompson went from number 26 to number 34. Started off with a 76, never really could find it again after that, en route to a tied 41 finish. Denny McCarthy went from number 30 to number 35. He has been right on the outside looking in. He was number 33 last year, 2023 FedEx Cup, and finished T26 at Castle Pines. So right there, not much he could have done, just a little, probably a few missed shots here and there. Moving on to the AIG Women's Open, the windy, cold, long, rainy, windy, any weather you can think of, the women had at St. Andrews, which also led to excruciating long rounds of golf. They were playing what felt like 6:45, 7 hour rounds of golf. I even thought about it. I was going to complain about coverage on Sunday because I was watching what was an awesome finish between what ended up being about, there were probably about five women that could have won that golf tournament at any one point. And they were only on hole 16 or so, and the playoff, the BMW Championship was well into their coverage, and that was most likely just because the ladies were playing where they borderline weren't able to finish on Sunday because of how slow they were playing. And I don't necessarily, I mean, we could get into a pace of play discussion, but I really think it was more just the conditions were so poor that they were really struggling to find numbers, to commit to shots. Putting, balls were rolling. It was really pretty tough. So Lydia Ko gets the win. She shot 71, 70, 71, 69, finished at 7 under par. Pretty nice little run she's on here after a gold medal in France, followed it up with a major championship. Ruiying Yin finished in T2nd alongside Nelly Korda and Lilia Vu. Yin shot 68, 72, 73, 70 to finish 5 under par. Nelly Korda, also 5 under par. She shot 68, 68, 75, 72. Really looked like she had things in the bag. Ended up making a double bogey on 14 of her round on Sunday, and just couldn't get it back at that point. It was so hard out there. I think once she made that double, it was tough to find any birdie holes after that. Lilia Vu finished T2nd as well, and Jiyu Shin, 71, 71, 67, 74, also finished at minus five T2nd. Moving on to first the President's Cup, and then we'll do the Solheim Cup as well. Auto qualifiers have been determined for both of those events. President's Cup, which is in Canada this year, in September, we have obviously Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Colin Morikawa, Sahith Theegala, and Wyndham Clark. And then from the international team, Hideki Matsuyama, Sung Jae-im, Ben Ahn, Adam Scott, Jason Day, and Tom Kim. Which, it's interesting. I was looking at it earlier. The international team has won this event one time in the last, that would be almost 30 years, going up on 30 years. So 1998 was, while it was in Australia, the international team smoked the U.S. team 20.5 to 11.5. And since then, there has been domination by the United States outside of 2003 when they tied while in South Africa. Looking at those six names from each side, it definitely looks a little lopsided. Ben Ahn's been playing awesome. Sung Jae-im's been playing awesome. Hideki, obviously, just won. Adam Scott has been finding something. Jason Day, just on the outside looking in for the Tour Championship. Tom Kim has shown some signs over the last month or so. So on paper, maybe not as lopsided as what you would see year in and year out, given the good play by the international team as of late. But the other team has Scottie Scheffler, has Xander Schauffele, guys that have been winning at a pretty high rate over this summer. And then from the Solheim Cup for the U.S. team. So the U.S. team does 9 auto qualifiers. The European team does 8 auto qualifiers. So for the U.S. team, Nelly Korda, obviously, Lilia Vu, Lauren Coughlin, Allie Ewing, Allison Copez, Andrea Lee, Rose Zhang, Allison Lee, and Megan Kang. So all players with experience in this format. Lauren Coughlin has kind of been the rising star as of late, so very excited for that. And then from the European team, we have Charlie Hall and Esther Heslett, and then Celine Boutier, Maha Stark, Lynn Grant, Leona Maguire, Carletta Singata, and Madeline Sangstrom have all qualified automatically. So they are making their captain's picks for the Solheim Cup. It's the beginning of August, I imagine. The President's Cup will be at a very similar time to that. All right. Moving on to the final event of the 2024 PGA Tour season, the Tour Championship at Eastlake. The time is here to talk about what I would consider one of my... It has grown on me since it started in 2019, but it will never not make me chuckle that we play an entire year of gross event golf, and then, ta-da, like, Tour Championship, let's play net. Which is, I understand why they do it, and I'm positive. The numbers have been crunched in every single computer that the PGA Tour numbers guys have, and they've determined this is the best way of doing it. Because keep in mind, the old way was not necessarily the best way either. You had, if you were in the top five, if you won, then you could win the Tour Championship. But if you were outside the top five, there was so much more math involved and equations, things changing constantly because of points. This feels much more easy to understand, but at the same time, you look at the leaderboard on Thursday afternoon and you go, holy moly, how the hell is Xander Schauffele at 800 par or 900 par? So it'll take a second to kick in that that we have Scottie Scheffler starting at 10 under par. We have Xander Schauffele starting at 800 par. Hideki Matsuyama starting at 7. Keegan Bradley at 6. Ludvig Hoberg at 5. Guys 6 through 10 start at 400 par. Numbers 11 through 15 are at 300 par. 16 through 20 are at 2 under. 21 through 25 are at 1 under. And then 26 through 30 are at even par to start the round. So kind of an interesting way of going about this tournament. If you are those guys that are 26, maybe 21 to 30, that's a really tough spot to be 9 shots behind Scottie Scheffler, who, in all fairness, has not had a ton of success at the Tour Championship. He has been in position where he has been in the lead going into this tournament and has not been able to close it out. Victor Hovland won last year. He played some awesome golf. So even for Scottie, kind of a tricky spot to be in where you are told, hey, we're giving you a 2-shot lead to start this tournament. Go play hard. Not necessarily... I feel like even if I'm trying to imagine myself in that position, you're very much playing not to lose rather than to win, I think, if you are starting off with the lead. But also, I imagine Scottie Scheffler has a much different mindset than I do, as he is a professional golfer. So I will just take that with a grain of salt. As I mentioned in the intro, Andrew Green has had his hands on this since last year's Tour Championship. Andrew Green just did the restoration on Oak Hill Country Club, which hosted the 2023 PGA Championship. He has done countless jobs and is kind of the new kid on the block that seems to have his hands on a lot of really, really, really cool projects. So transformed the greens to Tiff Eagle Bermuda putting surfaces, new bunkers, moved others, removed some trees. There are 9 golfers here that this is their first time playing it, but in all reality, it will be the first time for majority of these guys, or really all of these guys, given the fact that there have been some pretty significant changes. Very, very curious to see how the putting surfaces react, just given the pretty short time frame that they've had to get this grass growing. Usually it takes a while for new greens to not be too bouncy, where it just feels like you're hitting into cement. But I have very big hopes for what he's done for this event. So looking at the odds board, so we'll do two different odds boards. We'll do just a normal odds board, and then we'll also do 72-hole stroke play winner without the starting strokes. So starting with the regular odds board, obviously Scottie Scheffler is first with plus 110 odds. Xander Schauffele comes in second at plus 230, followed by Hideki at plus 1200. Rory McIlroy at plus 1800. Ludvig Aubert at plus 2200. Colin Morikawa at plus 35. Keegan Bradley at 40 to 1. Patrick Cantlay at 45 to 1. Wyndham Clark also at 45 to 1. A name that jumps off to me right there. So first off, I have a very hard time picking Scottie Scheffler or Xander, just given the odds of being at plus 230, plus 110. There's just not a ton of juice to squeeze out of that one. And then moving on from there, Ludvig Aubert is a really tricky one for me. If this golf course has been restored at a pretty significant level, it brings in the same exact thought that we had last week at Castle Pines, where new golf course, unfamiliar golf course, you got to take guys that can just ball strike the death out of it. And then also coupling that with the fact that Ludvig is starting off from behind, and he just made three eagles at Castle Pines, two or three eagles. It was a roller coaster. I had some doubles, but he made a ton of birdies and had those eagles. I think that just shows he has the firepower to close that gap really quickly. If Scottie Scheffler gets off to a bad start, that's a name I don't mind to close the gap. And his odds are a lot better than what I'm seeing at, like, Hideki Matsuyama. That's another name. That's 12 to 1, though. Hideki at 12 to 1 is a little bit of a scary thought. Rory McIlroy getting all the love at 18 to 1 when he is starting well behind. But then that leaves Ludvig at 14 to 1. Patrick Cantlay is another guy that he's at 4 under to start the tournament. He has had success here. He won in 2021. He has other top finishes, top 10 finishes on top of that. Very curious to see how he does this week. And then we have I might have cut into the other odds board. Rory's at 18 to 1. Ludvig is at 22 to 1. And that is a number I like. And then Patrick Cantlay at 45 to 1. The Patrick Cantlay number I just gave out at 16 to 1 was 72-hole stroke play winner without starting strokes. Patrick Cantlay is 16 to 1 for that, and I don't hate that number at all. Xander Schauffele starts off and first. Interesting, for the first time in what feels like a long time, we have a tie for the lowest odds. Xander Schauffele and Scottie Scheffler are both at plus 470. Rory McIlroy goes back to 10 to 1. Colin Morikawa at 14 to 1 alongside Ludvig Aubert. Patrick Cantlay at 16 to 1 alongside Victor Hovland. Hideki Matsuyama at 18. Sam Burns, Tommy Fleetwood at 20. Russell Henley, Sung J M at 22. Wyndham Clark at 26. And I will stop there. So, as mentioned, Patrick Cantlay at 16 to 1, just given his success here. I don't hate that one bit. I don't mind Colin Morikawa at 14 to 1. I just struggle a little bit with the Xander Scottie being so low, but they've proven time in and time out that they deserve those odds given how well they've been playing. I mean, And now, given the fact that they have essentially been given such a big cushion at eight, starting at 8 under and 10 under, they're going to be at the top of the leaderboard all week. And that's where it gets a little scary to bet against a guy like Xander, just because he's been so consistent for so long now. Very curious to see how it plays out. Looking at just the kind of the power rankings, so he's gone. So he won. Xander won the FedEx Cup, and since then he's went T2nd, T5th, scoring average of 66.6 at East Lake. So there is some good reason there why he'd make sense. Scottie Scheffler looked a little strange at Castle Pines, finished T33. I don't know if that's if there's much concern there. He tweaked his back a little bit on one swing that I saw. So we'll see. Sam Burns. It's funny. Brad takes the week off, the week that Sam Burns plays well, but he has had a T5 and a T2nd in the playoffs. I mean, he right now, second in strokes game putting, T2nd in par 3 scoring, third in par 4 scoring, and first in converting greens hit into par breakers. So he is firing on absolutely all cylinders. I would not be surprised if he squeaks his way into an easy top. Maybe you look at the top 5 number. I'd be curious to see what it is, just given how his past success recently. Sungjae Im, another one where he just kind of putzes along. He's at 300 par to start. He's never missed the tour championship. Opened in 2022, he started at 400 par and finished T2nd. So he has the ability to go low and play that really, really solid golf that's required. Outside of that, as mentioned, Ludvig is one that just has my attention, just because he has so much firepower and has the ability to go out there and post a really low number and put some pressure on Scotty early. And I don't think it's going to have to be Ludvig. I think every guy below Scotty will put some pressure on him. And outside of that, I don't have a ton else. We'll keep it short and sweet this week. I think we're kind of on the fence. We'll see how schedules work next week. I think we'll have an episode next week, probably a short episode next week, and then we'll take a week off because the tour season will officially be over until the fall series starts back up for the Pro Core Championship, which the shortest off season in golf, all of 11 days, so on September 12th through the 15th, is the Pro Core Championship, and then they are off again until the President's Cup, which, as previously mentioned, is in Montreal, Quebec, and that is September 26th through the 29th. All right, guys. Well, good luck at the Tour Championship. Should be a great event. Enjoy Labor Day weekend, the long weekend, and we will talk to y'all next week. See ya.